Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. We've been doing a very special series of programs for the last 3 weeks. Tomorrow is going to be my last day to air the teaching from our Gospel Truth seminar that was recorded in January 2012 in Phoenix. And I've been teaching on Don't Limit God. It was 10 years ago that the Lord told me I'd limited Him, and I mean, it has revolutionized my life. So I've just been sharing what worked for me, how it's changed my life, and how this will apply for you. And today on this broadcast that we're going to be airing, we're going to be talking about your imagination and how that you've got to use your imagination to start thinking bigger and seeing bigger. And one of the points, this is going to be a major point. I'm just using this to tease you so that hopefully you'll watch this, because this is a major deal, is you've got to understand that when it uses the term mind, like Isaiah 26:3, the Lord will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him because he trusteth in him. That word, the Hebrew word that was used for mind right there, was also translated imagination. And this is talking about that you have to learn how to focus your imagination on God and see what he is telling you come to pass. I tell you, this is a big deal. I think this will really help you. So we're going to go back into this teaching, taking from Phoenix at our Gospel Truth Seminar. I'm teaching on Don't Limit God times 10. Look at this in Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. I'm breaking right into the middle of some things, but it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him because he trusts in him." Did you know that the word mind there is a Hebrew word that literally means a form or conception? It's talking about your imagination. Your imagination has to be stayed upon the Lord. Many people think, well, I'm trying to keep my mind stayed on the Lord, but are you keeping your imagination stayed on the Lord? Are you picturing what God's Word says about you? There's people that say, for instance, in the area of healing, they'll be saying, "By His stripes I'm healed. In the name of Jesus, by the stripes of Jesus I am healed. I'm going to live and not die." But it's just information. They haven't meditated on it to the point that they literally see themselves healed. They're sitting there fighting thoughts. Their mind is wandering and thinking about what's going to happen when I die. What kind of funeral are they going to have? Is anybody going to weep over me? How's this going to affect? And that's what you're thinking. You see yourself dead, but you have information and you're trying to live out of just knowledge. But knowledge has to become understanding. Look at this passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." Gentiles here is just talking about a non-believer, a person that's not in covenant with God. "Don't walk like a lost man in the vanity of their mind." What is the vanity of your mind? I could spend a week. I spent literally 1 year meditating these verses. Didn't go anywhere except right here. I got a lot of great stuff out of this. So I could go a lot deeper, but in a nutshell, the vanity of the mind means that you aren't using all that God has given you. Science tells us we use like 10% of our brain. I can guarantee you, we are not using everything that God's given us, and that's the way the lost people are. Christians need to start utilizing what God has given us, and this imagination is a powerful force. And don't be like the lost that only use their imagination to see negative things. A pessimist is a person with a very vivid imagination. They're just imagining all of the wrong things. They'll see a glass half full and they'll call it half empty. They will always see the wrong thing. That is your imagination. Your imagination has become vain. I'm talking as fast as I can. And for every point I'm making, I got 100 scriptures I could give you. One of my favorite teachings is how to stay full of God, Romans chapter 1, verse 21. And over there, it lists a progression of things. You don't glorify God, and if you aren't thankful, then your imagination becomes vain. If you aren't glorifying God, that means putting worth and value on Him and constantly praising and thanking God for what you have, your imagination will just default to seeing the negative side of everything. And this is the way that the world lives. The world just gravitates towards all the negative. I could spend an hour verifying this. Many of you remember the swine flu, the bird flu, and all of this stuff. And I was in England when the leading expert of the British healthcare system, I heard him interviewed, and he said this out of his own mouth. I heard him say it. They said, "Do you believe that this avian flu is going to mutate into some kind of a flu that the people can get?" And he said, "Oh, there's no question about it. It's just a matter of time." They said, "Well, what time are you talking about?" He says, "It might be 1 year or 2 years maximum, but 1/3 of the world population will die from the avian flu within 2 years. That was in 2007. And there has been a total of 12 people worldwide die from it. We were in England. I'm sure Ashley and Carly can verify this. We were in England when they piled cattle up by big old machines that were, 15, 20 feet high. And I saw the same thing with poultry. And they burn them by the thousands. And you could see smoke going up all over the country from them doing this because of the great threat. And they prophesied that 1/3 of the world population would die. And then there was this flu when everybody started wearing the mask. That's only been a couple of years ago. And they were saying that it would be a pandemic, which means not an epidemic, means it's national. Pandemic means worldwide. Worldwide, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people would die. And you know what that is? That's an imagination. Taking something that happened and picturing the worst case scenario. This is the way that the world lives. Their imagination is vain because they don't put the proper honor on God. They don't glorify God. And their imagination just sees the worst of everything. And brothers and sisters, this is an epidemic. It's in a pandemic proportion in the body of Christ that people's imagination just gravitates towards the worst case scenario. People think it's logic to anticipate everything that could possibly go wrong and just think about it. But then they look at it as, well, you aren't a realist if you're just sitting here thinking about everything working out. You aren't dealing in reality. And they'll make fun of you. But your imagination can work for you or against you. And your imagination is a powerful force. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 6, is when the Lord came down to see the Tower of Babel, and He said to the people there, He said, "Come, let us confuse their languages, because the people are one, their speech is one, and now nothing that they have imagined will be restrained from them." Did you know God and His purposes here in the earth was actually challenged by the imagination of people? Nothing that they have imagined will be restrained to them. So He confused the languages to cause disunity and stop mankind from progressing and getting to a point where they could meet all of their own needs and not be dependent upon God. I could spend a lot of time trying to do that, but I'm just trying to get across that imagination is powerful. If you can imagine it, you can do it. I could preach on that for an hour or two. I know many of you think that's not true, but it really is true. You know, right now we're sending signals through the air back there, and it's being broadcast. Did you know, I don't know how many years ago, but not too many years ago, that was impossible. To think that you could send TV, to think that you could have a phone and carry it with you and just talk on a phone. Did you know, what was it, 10 or 15 years ago, people wouldn't have believed that. The mobile phones they had looked like a box, and it had to be plugged into your car or something, or you had to carry a backpack. Now they get them thin. Did you know things are happening that people wouldn't have believed? My mother she moved in a covered wagon when she was 3 years old. And yet she saw the first car, the first telephone, first television, men walk on the moon, all in one lifetime. Things are happening that people just dreamed of. But I can guarantee you, if you can imagine it, it can be done. There is a way to do it. It may take a lot of effort and cumulative effort, but it can be done. Our imagination is powerful. You know, I've built a deck. I've built a lot of things on my property. I built a trail that goes all around our property so that I can walk. And you know what I do? I remember when I built our deck, I would put a bucket out there and turn it upside down, 5-gallon bucket. And I sat there for hours looking at nothing. But I was looking, trying to see what I wanted that deck to look like. And once I saw it, then I could do it. And I would sit there with a pen and paper, and I'd sit there and count how many braces I need, how many beams I needed for that. And there wasn't anything to look at, but I was looking at it. I saw it, and I'd sit there and count them, and I'd write them down, and then I'd go buy the materials. This is why builders use a blueprint, because you have to be able to see it, and a blueprint helps you to imagine and see it. Sometimes you need a drawing or something. You know, we're dealing with building these buildings, and my contractor, he's drawn things on napkins and showed me, and I said, oh, that's exactly what I want, or no, I want this. And I've had my builder make a comment to me. He says, you know, you can see things better than most people. Most people, I have to actually produce the drawings before they can understand what I'm talking about. But I've learned how to use my imagination, and I can sit there, and with very little input, I can see things. When we built the building that we're in right now, not the one we're going to build, but the one we're in, it was a 110,000 square foot building, and only 10,000 square foot was occupiable. The rest of it was just open. And so I drew the plans. They were very crude, but I drew them, and then we had an architect make official plans out of them, but I showed them where everything was, and they went out and put duct tape on the floor. Where every wall was, where every door was, they would move the duct tape, you know, at an angle to show you that that's a door that opens. And I don't know how many hours, but I spent for 14 months, I would spend an average of 2 or 3 nights a week for 14 months up there praying, an hour to 2 or 3 hours walking that area, and I never stepped over any of that duct tape because I was seeing a wall there. I would go over where the door was, and I'd open the door, and I'd walk in, and I'd look around, and I'd look at these things, and that duct tape was helping me see it, and I'd say, is this the way I want it to be? I put 5-gallon buckets upside down and plywood on top of it, and I stood there in a dark room and preached and looked to see if I liked the way that the auditorium was set up, and there was nothing there. Amen. But I saw it. And I don't know how to communicate this to people, but I saw it. And when we moved into that thing, everybody was praising God. No, what a miracle this is. And I was just, you know, I'm always like this. We went to Disney World and they take those pictures, you know, when you go over the top of the thing and they take the picture and everybody's like that. And you could have taken a picture of me right now and have stuck it into every one of those rides. Everybody else was responding, and I'm just like this. I'm always like this. Sometimes my eyes might go like that, and that's about it, amen. But anyway, I'm just saying that I was at this dedication, and I was just praising God, and I had people come up, aren't you excited? Well, yeah, I was excited, but I told them, I said, I was excited 14 months ago when I could see it and nobody else could see it. I said, to me, this is anticlimactic to see it with my eyes. I can see with my heart better than I can see with my eyes. And did you know when we went to raising the money for that other building, the one that we're in now, I waited, I forget the exact time, but it was at least 3 or 4 months to write anything to my partners and tell them about it. And I had staff saying, aren't you going to say something? When are we going to raise money? We're already in process. What are you going to do? But you know, I had to see it. And so what I did, I just prayed and said, Father, what do you want me to do? And I just waited until I saw what God wanted me to do. And then I put that out, and in 1 year's time, $3.2 million extra above our normal expenses came in, and we paid for that debt-free because I waited until I saw it before I act. Most people will just react. They know they have a need, but they haven't waited. They haven't seen it. They've never seen themselves doing it. You've got to see yourself doing it. So let me relate all of this back to taking the limits off of God. That when the Lord spoke to me, I knew that God had told me that someday I'd have a ministry that would impact the entire world. I knew that I would take these truths about the grace of God and the goodness of God and impact the entire world with it. I believed it would have happened. But you know what? I couldn't see myself doing it. I didn't feel worthy to do it. I was afraid of the criticism that would come. I was afraid of the potential, like I was talking this morning, for getting lifted up with pride and changing and becoming different. I don't know how many of you have ever known some of the, you know, the I don't know what you call them, the super dupers is what Wendell calls them, the movers and shakers. I've been blessed to minister with some of the most famous people in the body of Christ. And again, I'm not against anybody, but most of them, I look at them and think, you know what? Success has changed you. They used to love people. They used to be available to talk to people. They used to do things, but now they're on a different planet. Nobody can touch them. They'll lose their anointing. And they're just things about them. I don't care. And I didn't want to be like that. And so anyway, because of this, I wouldn't let myself see me ministering and affecting large numbers of people. And you know what? When the Lord spoke to me, this is one of the main things I focused on. I had to change that image on the inside of me. I had to change me seeing what I was capable of. You know, my mother, I just found this out right before she died. She died in 2009 at 96 years old. And before she died, we were talking, and my mother was a teacher, and so we got information that some of the other kids didn't get. And she was talking one time about my brother had an IQ of 166, which was higher than Einstein's IQ. He's actually absolutely brilliant. The guy is just smart, smart, smart. And I asked my mother when she said that, I said, "What's my IQ?" And she says, "Well, yours is 86. You are just 2 points above an idiot." And anyway, I was mentioning this to my mother not long before she died, and she said, "That's not true." I said, "You told me, and I can tell you exactly where we were when you said it." She says, "I must have been kidding." But you know, I grew up my whole life thinking I'm 2 points above an idiot. I always made straight A's in school. I didn't struggle with it. It's not like I was wounded for life, but that was just a piece of information I had. And because of it, it formed an image on the inside of me of what I was capable of doing and stuff. And because, you know what? I formed an opinion, and that formed an image of me and of my limitations that I had to overcome. My brother was a mechanic. When he was 14 years old, he took a car apart down to the last bolt, the motor. I mean, everything. Took it apart and put it back together just to see if he could do it. And because of it, he's always been a super mechanic. And he tried to teach me these things. He's 4.5 years older than me. And he tried to teach me these things. And I didn't want to, you know, be just like my brother. So I rebelled and went the other way. As a result, man, I can barely screw a nut on a bolt. But you know what? When I got turned on to the Lord, I started saying, "I can do all things." And I started working on cars and fixing things and praying in tongues, not having a clue what I was doing, but just saying, "I know I can do it." And I changed that image that I had on the inside of me. And today I'm at a place I believe I could do anything I need to do. Now, whether I should do it and devote the time to it and take my attention away from what God told me to do is a separate thing. But I've really renewed myself, and I can see myself doing anything. You could put me, I'm like a cork. You could take me to the bottom of the ocean and I'd rise again. I am going to prosper. I will, and I've renewed myself, but it's through my imagination. I've seen myself doing it. I remember as a teenager studying about David fighting Goliath, and I went out and drew a lion on a tree at our house that was 9'6", which is what the commentaries say that Goliath was. And I drew that lion, and then I bent down some because David was only supposed to be 5 foot tall. And I stood there and looked at that lion so I could help see what happened, so that my imagination could see it, I could picture it. And because of it, the story of David has impacted me more than it has other people, because I've meditated on it until I can see it. When I went to Israel, people talk about they get an epiphany every time they go to Israel, and they say it's because, oh, this is where Jesus walked, because there's a special anointing. That's not it at all. You know why going to Israel changes your life? Because all of a sudden, things that you tried to picture in your mind, and you probably didn't have a very clear picture, all of a sudden now you see the tomb. And you can see it, and it becomes more real to you, and it has more of an impact on you. That's why going to places like that affect you so much, is because it affects your imagination. Are you still in Ephesians chapter 4? I didn't get to the scripture I was going to. But it's, you need to quit walking in the vanity of your mind. And then verse 18 says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. This word for understanding here is the Greek word dianoia. It's a compound word. And it's the exact same word that's used in Luke chapter 1, verse 51, where it talks about the Lord scattering the ungodly in the imagination of their heart. This same word was translated imagination. And it literally, the word dianoia means thought, but specifically deep thought. In other words, there's a difference in just thinking about things on the surface and having a deep thought or understanding. A person can get information, and information won't change your life until you understand it. This is what the scripture says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, I believe it is, where he's given the parable of the sower sowing the seed, and he said, this first type is the people who do not understand the word. Satan comes immediately and steals the word from them. Understanding is where the seed gets below the surface and down on the inside. It's deep thought, and that is your imagination. You cannot understand something if you can't picture it and see it and see yourself doing it. And so many people take a scripture about my God supplies all of my needs. You have that piece of information, but you haven't meditated on it until you see yourself prosperous. You talk and talk about, well, those rich people. And by you saying that, you have just exempted yourself from ever being rich. You can't see yourself rich.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, Don't Limit God Times 10, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD, or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Every album will also include the Don't Limit God sticker. This reversible static decal will cling to your window or mirror, reminding you not to limit God with small thinking. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fifth audio teaching in today's series is titled Godly Imagination. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
It was January 31st, 2002. Andrew had been on television for just over 2 years, seeing modest growth in the ministry and in the student body at Caris Bible College. It was then he received a revelation that changed everything. He saw that he'd been limiting God by small thinking, and he determined to change his ways. Immediately, the ministry began to grow. Finances, staff, telephone, and the mail ministry multiplied. Soon, the little 13,000-square-foot building on Robinson Street in Colorado Springs was no longer sufficient to meet the needs. The TV studio had to be dismantled to make room for more students. Port-a-johns were set up to handle the demand for facilities. Andrew began to take the limits off God. A 110,000-square-foot warehouse on Elkton Drive was purchased, requiring $3 million to finish. Andrew's ministry partners rallied.
Jamie and I want to thank you for being our partners. I tell you, God has done so many miracles in our life, and the best is yet to come, but we couldn't do any of this without you, our partners. I tell you, we've long since passed the place where we could finance this ministry.
18 months later, the building was completed and paid for through extra donations above the cost of operations. In 2004, the staff and student body entered their new home. Today, a short decade after his revelation about small thinking, the ministry and Caris Bible College are once again bursting at the seams. The parking lots are beyond capacity. Classrooms are once again overflowing. One solution is to limit enrollment, limit the size of the ministry and outreach, limit parking spaces, limit the number of lives that will be changed by the truth of God's Word. Or we can follow Andrew in his determination to take the limits off God. 157 acres of prime property in Woodland Park have been purchased at pennies on the dollar. Architectural plans have been funded and completed for the new campus, accommodating up to 3,000 students, and a construction phase is ready to begin. Think of the graduating classes of the future, 1,000 members strong and more, who'll go out year after year to multiply the message of God's unconditional love and grace around the world. Join the foundation builders who have already given and invest yourself in Caris Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries today. Our telephone number is 719-635-1111. Our web address is www.awmi.net, and our mailing address is on your screen.